Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And a great good day, good morning to you on this August 20th, a gorgeous day to get out to play, a light rain occasionally, but it's a beautiful day. The winds will be just about, well, last of the trades with the variables coming tomorrow, so enjoy today. Play 3, 7, 9, whatever, 18. If you play 18 at Poipu Bay, a paying adult and children 6 to 17 play free. And that's all the way through the end of August. Or take a lesson and get better with this game. You're watching the Olympic Golf. Claude Brousseau, Master PGA. He's Director of Player Development at Ko'olina. We're starting off the show this morning with Cheryl Anderson, the Director of Instruction, Mike Bender Golf Academy. Talk about some of the things we've been seeing in the Olympics. And right now, on the medal stand, of course, we just finished women's golf at the Olympics for the first time since 1900. We have at the top gold, of course, Korea. We kind of expected that. Silver went to New Zealand, also kind of expected that. And bronze to China, with Inbee Park performing amazingly, considering her injured thumb and all the experiences she's had this year. Deciding not to play in so many main events, not even defending at the the Women's British, so that she could be prepared to play in the Olympics. All the talk, of course, about Inbee is whether or not she will continue to play or whether she'll start a family. That's been big on her list of things to do. So we'll see what happens with this gold medal now, adding to her amazing number of major championship wins. Lydia Ko, so young, 14 wins already on the LPGA Tour. She takes silver. It was like she was peaking the day before today. We'll also look at Shen Shen Feng's amazing round today. For China, it's huge. A bronze, they would have flipped for a gold, but still having China on the medal stand, winning an Olympic medal is amazing for that country. So with Cheryl Anderson, Director of Instruction, Mike Bender Golf Academy, we'll first thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for 10 years. It's an outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. The Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. The Signature Steak and Seafood Restaurant. Beautiful, juicy steak. Excellent seared futukake ahi. Excellent wine selection by the bottle or the glass. Signature Steak and Seafood Restaurant with a beautiful view from the 36th floor of the Ala Moana Hotel. Valet parking. And Futura Stone. Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your building, company, or home into artwork. Futura Stone, only the best. By Claude Brousseau, Master PGA Professional, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Vision 54 Coach, and Aim Point Certified Golf Channel Lead Coach. You need a lesson with Claude Brousseau. Liliha Bakery, Danielle's favorite. Always perfect. Breakfast, lunch, and or dinner is Liliha Bakery. At the counter or at a table, feel at home with friends. Great food and a delight from the bakery to take home. Like old times at Liliha Bakery. And by Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business. Raynor Doors. And Creative Plumbing. Whether you're a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, or townhouse, call Creative Plumbing, because it has to be done right. Creative Plumbing.
Cheryl Anderson is the Director of Instruction at the Mike Bender Golf Academy. Welcome to the show, Cheryl.
Thanks, Danielle. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. We got to know you after seeing you on Golf Channel, giving us lots of tips. For instance, a good turn in golf is the core of a powerful and consistent swing. I think I'd like to delve into that one. But first, you know, I was just watching and talking about Olympic golf, and the women and the competition was phenomenal from around the world. And watching this Olympic event, did you feel the power of the Olympics in this golf event?
Absolutely. You really sense it when you just see the girls, you know, fighting for the country, and I think it was most compelling when Jarena Pillar was just interviewed, and she didn't play too well today from the United States of America, and just how heartbroken she was. You know, these athletes are giving it their all for their country, and that's what's so cool to watch.
And she was playing in the final group as well with, you know, Lydia Ko battling against Imbi Park with a six-stroke lead at one point. Just incredible golf on the part of Imbi with that thumb. And she didn't even defend her championship in the Women's British, the Ricoh Women's British Open. She chose to rest that thumb, go to the Olympics in good, as best of health she could be in, and perform at the top. And she really did, even though there were a couple of wayward shots. It's like, that was a miss. That's all. Annika Sörenstam, of course, was doing some of the color commentary for Golf Channel. It was really, really exciting. I was, one of the things that always disturbs me is the pace of play. But it seemed like at some point, they, after the first round, they started to pick it up.
Yeah, I didn't notice about the pace of play. I just caught the end of the Olympics, which I'm so thankful for. But getting back to your point on Imbi Park resting her injury for a couple months, what a wise move, clearly, as we see now, because we see so many athletes who do have injuries and they kind of play through them, and it just makes it worse. So a good lesson for all.
There was another thing I was looking at with Lydia Ko. She was so strong. She had the first hole in one of her career yesterday. Amazing Olympics, you know, and you thought, yeah, boy, she was just powering through it. Peaking is such an important part of any sport. It was like she peaked yesterday.
Yeah, and now her putter kind of let her down today, I guess, but she's usually so good at putting. But all credit goes to Imbi Park for throwing up a 66 today. And you know, I mean, we heard her say that this was her goal all year long, that she wanted to win the Olympics. And I think we're going to see her retiring pretty soon. That's what she said she wanted to do.
She wants to start a family. She wants to have children. Although she hasn't specifically said that, she said it certainly is on her mind. And I couldn't help but think that this is the perfect way with her. Mm-hmm. She's already in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
The hardest Hall of Fame to get in, the LPGA. The Hall of Fame, and then to have the gold medal, it's like she can say, yeah, okay, South Korea, you know, give me a break. I know I've been carrying the banner, and they've been really carrying their flag their entire careers.
Yes, yes. I mean, ever since Sayree Park Pack came out, right, long time ago, she just kind of lit up everybody in that country, and then Imbi Park has carried the torch, and I'm sure, I mean, they have such a strong team. Weren't there five South Koreans in the Olympics? There are,
yes,
five in the top five. So, yeah, I think she's done her job.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, there was, I mean, of the top 15 in the world, I think there are eight South Koreans. So four of them were able to go, and the rest couldn't even go, which is another question entirely. But let's go, since a lot of people are heading out to the golf course and would love to, you know, be ready when they get there. We're getting them excited, and we want them to be steady, right? When we talk about that good turn in golf, the core of a powerful and consistent swing, how do I know if I'm making a good turn?
Yeah, I called it the gold medal move this week when I was on the Golf Channel, turning that left shoulder more than the left knee if you're a right-handed golfer on the backswing. That's the visual I want people to have. Get that left shoulder turning more than the left knee. And clearly, going back to the Olympics when they were in 1900 and 1904, all those Olympians had that same move. So it's a move that stood the test of time in golf. And when you get that good turn, it allows your body to create some speed and some depth to the backswing, and it really sets up that inside approach coming into the ball.
So the neck and the hips are working together here, but you've got to work on the upper body staying a little bit
more than that lower.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ideally, I'd like to see the shoulders get to 90 degrees and the hips about half of that. But, you know, there's some players that are so flexible. They have maybe 20 degrees a hip turn and 70 degrees a shoulder, but then there's those others that are so tight. Go ahead and let those hips turn more. Get them to 55 degrees even. Anyhow you can get those shoulders to 90 degrees is the goal.
But the bottom line is the trunk of our body, the legs, become the base, the strength, where you we talk about using the earth, setting, yeah, right, pushing off of the ground. How do you develop that ability to really plant, push, mm-hmm, which is so much a core of all sports?
It is. It starts from a good setup. You've got to feel athletic right from the get-go, and too many people are out of balance right in the setup. So you want to feel like you're getting ready to return a tennis serve or getting ready to field a ball. And then from there, that good turn, when you turn properly that left shoulder more than the left knee, your weight, it just automatically moves as it's supposed to. It's supposed to, the pressure is supposed to move into your back heel of your right foot. And then you have some energy to push off of. And you're talking about pushing off the earth. Absolutely. You want to feel like you're pushing off of that right foot. And your left hip kind of goes towards the target. And then right at the bottom of the swing, you just kind of straighten that left leg and push up off the ground for that last burst of energy.
Yeah, it's like the resistance that you need to create the energy. You need resistance to create the energy to go forward. When we talk to athletes, they know what their stance is. They know what their balance stance is. And somebody once told me, if you jump up in the air and come back down, you'll find the correct place where you are in balance, where you are, I don't know other way to put it other than you're,
yeah,
in a solid stance. Is that correct?
Yeah, I like that image. And also just kind of setting up and putting all your weight on your toes, rock back all the way to your heels, do that a couple of times, and then find that middle point where you feel balanced. And the width of the stance plays a large role, too. You know, people should play around with narrowing it a little bit, getting a little wider. Where do they feel like they can, I like to say, splitting the earth apart in the setup.
Good. That's good. And imagery is so much a part of it. People sometimes say, how do you talk about golf on the radio? Well,
yeah,
it's imagery, yeah, you know, making, if you make those images, you start feeling it and you start seeing it in your mind's eye, and all of that, it becomes a part of you. I was watching, you know, this final round as I was getting ready for the show this morning, and watching Inbee Park on the 18th, and she ended up in a greenside bunker, and it was it was steep, and she didn't have a lot of green to work with. She managed to shoot it up high. And it went up high in the air, and then when it landed, it didn't have a lot of room to roll. You know, that it came down, yeah, so solid that there was not a lot of roll. She was maybe 18 inches from the cup. It was amazing. You saw that. Oh, good. So I'm wondering, what's the best way to accomplish that?
Okay, the best visual I can give you is, if you look in the end of your, I'm going to grab a club here. If you look in the end of your grip, there's a little hole, right? There's a little hole in the end of the grip.
Yes.
You can even stick a tee in it.
Yes.
So for the bunker shots, you want to feel as though the club head passes that little hole. So when you release the club head past that little hole at the other end of the grip, you add loft to your shot. And that's what you do in the bunker. Whereas in every other shot in golf, we're really trying to keep that little hole in the end of the grip ahead of the club head.
Wow. So you're tilting it almost, it's like coming down on it and then perpendicular?
Yeah.
You're digging up and I can feel that. It was hard
to... that club head past your hand slightly right through the bottom.
Yes.
Whereas golf swing, we're always trying to keep the handle ahead, like on a broom, you know, the broomstick is going to stay ahead of the broom bristles. But in the bunker, we want the broom bristles to pass the stick.
You know, and I think sometimes when that feels a natural thing to do, you're in that position and you would naturally, don't get me wrong, scoop it isn't the right word, but you'd want to, like, you know,
yeah,
get it up there, right? And some of us, we listen to the rules of performance, the, you know, what we're supposed to do, like not allowing your hands to become too involved, or sometimes you've got to feel it. You've just got to feel what your body would do at that moment with this stick and that ball to get it up over that little lip and onto the green. And then if you allow that feeling, and plus, of course, you know, knowing a little bit about your clubs and the way they work, then it all comes together. The feel players are so much fun to watch because they come out of the most incredible lies, and you wonder, how did they do that?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you're right. You have to kind of exaggerate that image of letting the club head pass the top of the grip. You're not really flipping it, as you said, but you are releasing the club and letting that club head overtake the hand.
Yeah.
For those high, soft bunker shots.
Yeah. But it's not something that you're actually told to do or taught to do, unless it's in a radical position like it that was, and to make it stop so you can get the ball going up high.
Yeah, and she just kept that face wide open through the shot, never let it close.
Beautiful. Cheryl Anderson is Director of Instruction, Mike Bender Golf Academy. She's teaching all day Saturday, and she's adjusted her schedule to be with us here at the start of the show on this Women's Olympic golf finale, the fourth round, with Inbee Park, Lydia Ko, and Shen Shen Feng coming in with the gold, the silver, and the bronze. And so many interesting stories this week with some of the women that I'm sure you probably have never heard of. But now that you've seen this, you'll say, oh, wow, she was the one who had the course record with the interesting hat that she was wearing. The Russian gal, right?
Yeah. That wraparound hat.
Yes. Yes, I did, too. I was like, where can I get that? Maria Verchanova, a round of 62, a final course record. She didn't know she shot a course record until she was in the scoring booth. And they said, okay, because you have
awesome. a
course record, you get to take your scorecard home.
That's awesome. Hey, and did you know that this was the first time anyone ever received a gold medal for the Women Olympics, because in 1900 they received some kind of a bowl.
Porcelain. Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yes, exactly. And so it's been a real treat to get through all of the controversies about whether the golf course would make it. I thought the golf course, having had the men on it the first week and the women on it the second week, or the women and the men, however you want to play it, it just shows that we can do two major championships, possibly, back-to-back with not that much of a problem if you've got the right golf course. And this one's certainly, it's beautiful.
I think we should have a male and a female team.
Yes, yes! That would be exciting.
I love that.
Yeah, I do too. I love that concept. Okay, and Cheryl Anderson does golf tips on Golf Channel's Morning Drive, we've seen her on, as well as Golf Fix. And you can find her on YouTube. Okay, if you put in Cheryl Anderson, you'll come up with lots of these great tips that she's done for us. In the Inside Approach to Better Impact was done in May. And this summer, also Hitting Hybrid Out of Rough Lives. That didn't come into play except for with Lydia Ko today, when she was right on, she was in some vines. That was very rough. The vine got around her club. And as one of the commentators said, I don't think she practiced this shot. How would she?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So how? Let's just take it from a general lie, a rough lie, a coming out with a hybrid out of a rough lie. What is your recommendation?
Yeah, love the hybrid because they have a little more weight to them and it helps you to get under the ball and get through that thick grass. Always take a practice swing. See how much the grass is going to resist. If it's going to be very rough to get through, tighten your grip pressure a little bit to prevent the club face from closing. That's really a key. And I love to put the ball just a little bit back and get my weight left to create a little steeper angle of attack to cut through that rough.
Ah, so that that club face comes right in on that ball and brings it
right
up out of the grass. Excellent. Cheryl Anderson, such a pleasure talking with you.
Well, thank you again, and have a great show.
Thank you. Director of Instruction, Mike Bender Golf Academy, Cheryl Anderson. Catch her on YouTube and go to the Mike Bender Golf Academy. What neighborhood are you in?
We're in the Orlando, Florida neighborhood.
Excellent. You're right.
So much Canada.
Well, right over there. We can fly right to Orlando. Check out the Golf Channel Studios and all the theme parks and get a lesson from Cheryl Anderson. Awesome. Thanks for being on the show. Aloha.
All right. Aloha. Bye.
We're going to come back and we're going to check out a brand new golf course that's just opening September 1st. And Marty Kaufman, travel editor for Golf Week, is going to tell us all about Sand Valley. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Take the red carpet elevator 36 stories straight to the sky to the signature prime steak and seafood atop the Ala Moana Hotel. Kama'aina specials nightly, like three-course meal with salad, entree of miso butterfish or 16-ounce prime ribeye, truffle mashed potatoes, and dessert, all for only $56.95. Live pianist and happy hour nightly with bar food discounts to half off, and there are three rooms for private parties for 8 to 45 guests. For reservations, call 949-3636. The signature, prime steak and seafood.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futuristone's Master Craftsman can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futuristone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futuristone. 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futuristone. Only the best. As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative Plumbing!
Your experts on call.
Poipu Bay on Kauai South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Let's see. 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Oh, at Poipu Bay, there's a 920, a 1050, a 1220, and a paying adult can take their child 6 to 17 on the course, and the child will play free. That's through the month of August. So there's a 920, 1050, and 1220 at Poipu Bay. Marty Kaufman is travel editor, Golf Week magazine. Just a moment ago, Marty, I just got a tweet here from Alistair Tate, Golf Week Tate on Twitter. Great 2 week in Rio. Great show from the women to follow the men. Golf's inclusion in future Olympic Games is secure. Welcome to the show, Marty.
Thanks, Danielle. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. Did you get a chance to catch any of the golf on the Olympic golf?
Yeah, as you know, I've been traveling the past 8 days, so I haven't seen a whole lot other than a good portion of the women's final this morning. So interesting. That was an interesting tweet from Alistair, because there has been a lot of question as to whether golf will be back in 2020 at the Olympics.
Yes, because of the naysayers before this event started, with all the guys dropping out, deciding not to go. And that's a personal decision. I hold, I don't have anything negative to say about somebody who makes a decision about that. It could be for real valid reasons, health reasons, doesn't matter. But it was fabulous to see the guys embrace it, to get so excited about it. I was sad to see so many people say golf doesn't belong in the Olympics. The way these young athletes, and I said that very specifically, these young athletes train to play this game, 4 days, 72 holes, that's an athletic undertaking, don't you think?
Oh, sure. Sure, it is. It's, what I find interesting is how much more the women embraced the idea of going to the Olympics than the men did. And a lot of the men, really back dating back to the spring, expressed some apathy, you know, toward the Olympics, whereas the women have been gung ho about it right from the beginning. And there really weren't. I can only think of maybe one woman who would have been eligible who did not play. So that was one of the interesting things that I took away from this Olympics.
Why do you think that was?
I don't really know for certain, but one good theory that I heard was that the men play for so much more money, and the majors are so well established on the men's tour, and those are the big events for them. Whereas the women, they want that big stage that maybe they don't quite have on the regular tour. You know, they want that week where they are what everyone is watching. And I thought it turned out great. I mean, as I said, I was only able to watch a little bit of the coverage, but it's certainly this morning was terrific, and it was great to see NB Park back playing so well.
Isn't it? And the golf course, I know you didn't get a chance to see much of it, but it seems to have held up beautifully with the men playing 1 week, followed by immediately the women playing the next week. This Olympics course, very well done. Gil Hans did a great job, it seems.
Gil Hans does a great job with pretty much everything he touches. I mean, that was one of the things that the Olympic Committee really got right, was picking him to do the job. He's a terrific architect. He's kind of been a little bit under the radar to most people, but he's done some really great work. And in fact, he's doing got a big opening coming up next year, not far from where I live here in Florida, at Stream Song Resort, where he's doing the third course. So people are going to hear a lot more about Gil Hans in the next 5 to 10 years.
Marty Kaufman is the travel editor for Golf Week magazine. Mike Kaiser said, one course is a curiosity. Two courses is a destination. And it seems like, well, Stream Song was one course. Now it's three. It's becoming certainly a destination. Bandon Dunes, Cabot Cliffs after Cabot Links. And now we've got Sand Valley. And Sand Valley is opening up, when is it, September 1st?
Well, they're actually already doing preview play there. And you could probably, if you went there today, you probably could play all 18 holes. But the official preview, the official start date for preview play on the first course is September 1st.
And Bandon. With Bandon Dunes, Kaiser started off with one course. Then it was Bandon Dunes and Pacific Dunes. Then the trails, then Old MacDonald, and then Bandon Preserve, that par three short course. And he had Corin Crenshaw, Tom Doak, Jim Urbina, David McClay Kidd, all of these guys working. It's not like it's one architect. You get lots of different things when you go there. It's like Disneyland. You get everything.
And I think that's a good strategy, too, is to give people a selection of architects to choose from. I think when people see Sand Valley, when they get there next year and see both courses, and they probably won't see the Kidd course. David McClay Kidd is doing the second course of Sand Valley, and that'll probably be open for preview play roughly in a year from now. But they'll go there and they'll see two very different golf courses adjacent to one another. So I think that's Mike Kaiser is. You know, he's one of the true geniuses in golf in the way he's built his operation. You have to go to his golf courses. It's just the best experience, or pretty close to the best experience in American golf.
Sand Valley Golf Resort is in Nakusa, Wisconsin. Did I pronounce that right?
I think that's right. I refer to it as Rome, Wisconsin, because that's the closest town that I know how to pronounce.
It's kind of between Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, and Iowa on the Lake Michigan side.
Yes.
Designed by Bill Corr and Ben Crenshaw. I was looking at it, and gosh, you know, they did the plantation course at Kapalua that
right.
will host the
exactly.
SBS Championship, right? And there is something about the way they do that. There's a, even though there's trees, there's a spaciousness to it.
Yes. And that's one of the interesting things about the course at Sand Valley as well, Danielle, is that there's tremendous width on the golf course. On the Corr Crenshaw course, tremendous width. You can hit it anywhere, but you ideally want to hit it to certain parts of the fairway to be able to go after the flag. The big distinction that I think people will find between the first course by Corr and Crenshaw and the second course by David McClay Kidd is that when you go out on the Corr Crenshaw course, you'll find yourself looking side to side because it's so wide, so big. On the kid course, when people see that next year, they'll find themselves looking up and down because there's a huge ridge, about 100-foot ridge, that runs about 2 miles long in a V shape, running through the property. And David used that as sort of the focal point of his design. And I think he's got a really spectacular piece of land, and the whole property is. What's really stunning about the property, and I was amazed. I had no idea what I was in for when I went there last Saturday. When you drive in there, it's like you're driving into the Sahara Desert in the middle of Wisconsin. I mean, it's just enormous dunes. I had no idea that I would find something like that in that region.
Well, on his website, Bill Corr is quoted, "Made of sand, the perfect sculpting medium for the creation of natural-looking, interesting features of golf. The terrain of Sand Valley is a collection of meandering ridges and valleys over which and through which the course has been routed." And I thought that he was in a sandbox.
Oh, yeah, and which is what architects love to work with. They love to design on sandy sites. And David McClay Kidd said flat out, "Sand Valley, this is a direct quote, it's the most spectacular inland site he's ever seen."
Wow.
And he's designed all over the world. So that's, you know, who knew that you would find that in the middle of Wisconsin?
Right, exactly. This is a walking-only course, this Sand
yes.
Valley Golf Resort. Why the decision for walking only?
I think that is part of the that's what you get when you go to a Mike Kaiser course. He believes in the old school, kind of the natural, the way the game used to be played. And so that's, they might, I think that they're going to allow carts if you have a note from your doctor saying that you need to take a cart to play. But that'll be a very rare case. So it'll be walking with caddies. That's the way Mike likes it. It's the way he's done it at Bandon Dunes. It's the way they do it up at Cabot Links and Cabot Cliffs, and it's worked for them so far. And I think people buy into, by and large, people buy into that old style experience of walking the golf course and enjoying it that way. It's not something you can do everywhere, but you can do it on his courses because, you know, he's very conscious of having fairly economical walks. You know, not long distances from greens to tees, that sort of thing. So I think it works out well. We walked the Corr Crenshaw course last week. Very nice walk. We walked much of Kidd's course. Obviously it's in early stages, but we walked much of it. That'll be an easy walk, fairly easy walk as well.
the question I have to ask you is, you know, the staying. Where I love the fact that it's not, nothing's over $250. It's not like,
right.
And the fee, green fees are really quite reasonable. When I looked at the green fees, I thought, wow, really? This is a brand new course. It's Mike Kaiser putting together this destination. Corin Crenshaw designed it, and the fairly reasonable. The place to stay that's reasonable would be the Fairway Lodge, because that Lake Leopold Cottage and the lodge kind of get pricey.
Well, you'll want to stay on site. There's not a whole lot of other options around there. It's a very remote destination.
Where did you stay?
They had some cabins and some rooms already open.
Was that the Fairway Lodge? Sorry.
I don't know if they call it the Fairway Lodge. Is that what they're calling it? But I hadn't heard that term. But yes, they have some rooms not far from where the clubhouse will be. And very, very comfortable, very much like Bandon Dunes. Nothing, it's not luxurious, but it's very, very comfortable and good, you know, very, very comfortable, very convenient. But, you know, you touched on an interesting point about pricing, and this is something, goes back to the genius of Mike Kaiser. When he built Bandon Dunes, one of his theories was that he wanted to come in at roughly half the price of Pebble Beach and deliver as good or a comparable experience. And, you know, I think he's going to do the same thing at Sand Valley, where he'll come in at, you know, roughly half the price of Whistling Straits, which is 2.5 hours to the east, and maybe, you know, maybe pull a little bit of business away from that course.
But it's beautiful. It's spectacular. I wanted to go walk it right away as soon as I saw some of the images, and it's Sand Valley Golf Resort. You can find it.
Yes.
Just Google that. And if you want more information, the number is 888-651-5539. 888-651-5539. And that number's on the website, too. Very nice. Very beautiful. And I wanted to just go. You also do a little bit of writing about television ratings and broadcasting and how it's... What do you think of the... The ratings have been high, and golfers aren't going out to play. Do you think they're all staying at home watching television instead of going to play golf?
There is some evidence that is what's happening. The numbers for the Olympics, at least for the men's tournament, were tremendous. You know, the Golf Channel and NBC had great, great numbers, great ratings numbers for the men's tournament. I haven't seen all of the women's events, or haven't seen all the women's ratings yet, although the numbers for the first two rounds were very strong. But there doesn't seem to be any correlation between people watching golf and people playing golf. And, you know, we've seen that here in the U.S. We've seen rounds played drop, you know, from 518 million rounds back in 2001 to, I think it was about 460 million rounds in 2015. So that's not a good sign, and I haven't really heard a good answer as to how to reverse that trend.
No, that's why I was pleased to see the prices for the green fees at Sand Valley so, you know, reasonable, because
yeah.
it's expensive to take the family to play golf. It's expensive to take yourself to play golf. It's expensive in the pocketbook, and it's expensive in time management. So I'm not sure how the industry is going to handle that. I was interested in the pace of play in the first couple rounds of the men too. You know, I don't want to just target the women. 5.5 hours for one round is just a very long time. Maybe it was windy, but I just think that we need to pick that up. But it doesn't seem to be affecting ratings. that's great.
You know, the pace of play is an interesting thing because, you know, we hear this from our college writers that they they go out to the NCAA championships or to the regional events. Rounds will go, it's not uncommon for rounds to go 6 hours. And these are players who are shooting low 70s or in the 60s. It apparently gets ingrained at a young age to take your time, overthink things, play slowly. And it's not an easy thing to watch if you're sitting at home, trying to follow it on TV.
That's why the broadcasts that have a huge number of cameras, and they can go from one hole to the other hole, they can switch cameras, switch players, take you here, take you there. Because if you had to follow one person, it would be very, you boy, really, you're how long, please?
No, you're right. I thought that the Olympic coverage that I saw this morning, I thought they did a really nice job, and they were jumping around and kept the coverage, the pace of the coverage moving, even though I guess the play was a little slow. But you're right. That's why you need all those cameras out there, is to because the pace is so slow.
Yeah, yeah. But at least the ratings are up, so the advertisers are happy. That's generating more money for the men's game. Let's hope it translates to the women. Back to that point about why fewer women dropped out, I think there's a passion that women have for the game, because to make it on the Symetra Tour, to make it from college golf to professional golf, you have to persevere in the most frightening circumstances that only somebody in their 20s would undertake. And I think the men have it easier than the women do on that level. And so, you know, for them to say no to the Olympics for women, be like, no way. I get to play in the Olympics, I'm going, you know. It's
right.
Even if I have to pay tax on the medal that I win. Which you do, you know.
That's probably something. There probably is something to that. I think the Olympics is probably it's arguably the biggest or second biggest event on the women's schedule, right off the bat. Probably up there, comparable to the U.S. Open. I mean, Lydia Ko, I heard her interview talk about winning the silver today, and she talked about it being, you know, how important it was to herself. So it's a huge thing for the women. The men are slow adopters, but maybe they'll be a little more, I would assume they'll be more enthusiastic about it in 2020, having seen how things went this year.
I think you're right. Marty Kaufman, travel editor, Golf Week. Nice to meet you. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Danielle. Enjoyed it.
Good. Aloha. We're going to come back and we're going to look at the grind. Alex Myers writes The Grind. Kind of a, you know, tongue-in-cheek, what I'm taking, what I'm selling, what I'm buying, what I'm selling. You'll know one of the names of the people he's selling. He had a moment. I think what Alex said was something like, well, he's managed to go 6 months without being kidnapped. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Liliha Bakery is Hawaii's best. It's the home of Cocoa Puffs. Get breakfast, lunch, or dinner at both great locations. And breakfast is always available all day. After all, it's a Liliha Bakery tradition. Award-winning hotcakes, omelets beyond compare, and everyone's favorite melt-in-your-mouth butter rolls. Ooh. And at Nimitz, don't forget hearty, fall-off-the-bone tasty oxtail soup and prime rib, too. Bring the whole gang. Get reservations for 20 or more every day. There's ample parking in the entire lot. The holidays are here. Pick up those holiday treats. Come on, get to a Liliha Bakery now.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? golf easier with the coaching of master PGA teaching professional Claude Brousseau. Claude will simplify your game, scratch golfer or just beginner. As a two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, now with the Ko'olina Golf Academy, you will get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or email him at claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
What do the Symphony Tower, One Ala Moana, Waiea Building, JN's Lamborghini Showroom, and Park Place at Ala Moana all have in common? They used Rainer Hawaii overhead doors for their door and gate needs. Rainer, Hawaii's premier overhead door company. Provide lasting security and safety for your business by working with Rainer Hawaii overhead doors and gates. Great service, fair prices. Whether you need 80 doors or only a small repair, call Rainer Hawaii, 676-DOOR. That's 676-3667, Rainer Hawaii.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
If you'd like to find out more about Claude Brousseau, he's a Master PGA Aimpoint Certified Vision 54 coach. He's a great guy. He'll teach you at Ko'olina, but you can go to your webpage and go Claude, the number 4, Best Golf. Claude 4, Best Golf. And that'll put you right into his golf academy, Claude Brousseau, GolfChannelAcademy.com. Well, let's go check out the grind. What are we selling and what are we buying with Alex Myers, Associate Editor of Golf Digest and author of The Grind? Welcome to the show, Alex.
Hey, Danielle. How's it going?
Good. And how about the hole-in-ones in Olympics? Were you like eating your hat?
That's right. But yeah, I mean, it's incredible how many there were. You had 5 in competition, and plus you had Indy Park make one in a practice round, so 6. In 2 weeks, and I think 5 of them were on the same hole, that 8th hole. So there's something magical about that. But certainly magical week for Indy Park all around to do kind of what Justin Rose did last week, make an ace and then end up winning Olympic gold, and to do it in runaway fashion. Pretty impressive stuff.
Someone told me, don't talk to Alex Myers about hole-in-one because he hasn't had one. So are you going to go to Rio?
That's right. You're right. That's a great point. Maybe I need to get down there and play that course.
That 8th hole.
The 8th hole specifically. Maybe I should just play it over and over again until I make one. Yeah, no, that's right. Don't ask me about hole-in-ones. Everybody has one. Although, the crazy fact is Lydia Ko's hole-in-one yesterday, that was the first one she's ever had, not just in competition, but ever. So that made me feel a little better that I don't have one because, you know, I have friends who can't even break 100 and they have a hole-in-one. And meanwhile, I've played thousands of times in my life and I can't seem to buy one. But Lydia Ko just got one, so I'll give it a little more time.
There's hope for you. There's hope,
there's
Alex.
Still hope.
Yes, there's still hope.
Exactly, exactly.
Now Stacey Lewis shot a 63. Mm-hmm. She was on fire on that 63, and then she couldn't buy a putt. She was leaving them short. It's like her head just dropped. It's like, I can't understand this. But in your column, you don't talk about performance. You talk about tan lines.
And again, I know all about tan lines. My wife makes fun of me all the time. I have them year round. I'm looking at my feet right now. They look ridiculous. It looks like I'm wearing socks, and that's how white they are. But yeah, Stacey Lewis, that was really funny. I mean, right from the get-go, they were pretty jarring. We know these LPGA golfers have tan lines. They joke about it, but usually you don't see them that pronounced. But she went with a sleeveless shirt for some reason, and good for her. I mean, her arms are you know, jacked up. I mean,
right.
She looks good, but
right.
but she just, they were really red, and there was that big line. And I know even Johnny Weir and Tara Lipinski were in the booth. They kind of made fun of it a little. And afterwards, she had a laugh about it, and she said that she never wears sleeveless and that she's never wearing it again. But maybe she should, because she did shoot 63 that day.
I'm telling you. So. You know, yeah, exactly. Hello. Yeah. Superstitions
right.
have a reason for being part of the game, right? Right.
Exactly. So, yeah, she has a 63 average when she wears sleeveless shirts. So to me, even though it looks bad, I probably would have worn that shirt again.
Okay. Speaking of in the booth, all right, I did a double, triple, quadruple take. I was watching Golf Channel, you know, and I'm thinking Golf Channel and Olympic golf, and all of a sudden there's Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir.
Yeah.
John, the Olympic skaters turned fashionistas, and they were taking over. Man, that was weird.
It was weird. It was kind of funny. I think it worked because they, of course, work with Terry Gannon when they announced the figure skating at the Winter Olympics.
Yeah.
So for NBC this week and last week, they are, quote, cultural correspondents, and whatever that means. And so they kind of did a sampling of all the sports, and, you know, they took their turn at golf, and Johnny Weir showed up. He was wearing his plaid shorts in honor of golf. He said he had a hole-in-one hairdo, whatever that means. It was pretty funny, though. They definitely were there. They talked a little fashion, but I liked when Terry kind of let them announce the golf and, you know, they didn't even know what a fairway was, and, you know, it was pretty good stuff. It made for a good segment.
It was great. It was. It's just like, I'm like, who are these people? It took for a minute for me to go, oh, of course.
Exactly. But, you know what's great? It actually kind of speaks to golf being included in the Olympics and kind of getting the same treatment as some of these other sports and getting exposure from crowds that don't watch golf. And, you know, the fact that the, you know, some of the golf was on NBC also when people are tuning in to watch the more traditional Olympic sports, so to speak. So, you know, I think overall this was a major success, especially when you look at Justin Rose, you know, holding off Henrik Stenson on the men's side.
That
and then
was
you have
amazing.
Indy Park,
yes.
A great, right, you get a great champion like Indy Park. Maybe this is even her swan song.
Yeah.
And Lydia Ko takes the silver. And then, you have the hole-in-one and everything else. I think it was a great couple of weeks. Definitely a big success. And yeah, of course, hopefully the next time it comes around, we get even more of the big names on the men's side to actually play.
You know, watching the LPGA is like watching the Olympics all the time. I mean, because we have such an international gathering of women, you know, when we watched Olympic golf, we almost knew everybody. Right? It's like, but then there were people we got to know that we didn't know. And I think that was one of the, it gave us a chance to get to know the gal from Russia, you know.
Exactly.
The young lady from India, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there were two Swiss golfers. I had no idea.
Yeah.
It was wonderful from on that level to be able to, you know, to see Maria Verchova's hat. I just like, it's like Ricky Fowler's outfit. All of a sudden, Maria Verchova took over as, you know, the style queen, and everybody wants her hat. And Morocco, Maha Hadouri, you know, and the Czech Republic's Klára Spilková, Aditi Ashok, she was amazing. And Nana Madsen from Denmark, did you see any of her play?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, you're right. You really got to see some new, some fresh blood, different countries represented. I think in especially in those countries, it was a huge deal to have those players represent the country. And that's just what's really cool. I mean, we're always thinking of these things from an American perspective, and certainly having a lot of the top men not play kind of put this taste in our mouth that, you know, this isn't that important. But certainly to other countries, it was extremely important. And for the players who went from the U.S., they took it seriously. They had a great time. They enjoyed the experience, and it became really important to them. And certainly you've got both tournaments started with the the local Brazilian players hitting the first tee shot. You saw the Addison Da Silva tearing up after he hit that tee shot. So it really was an interesting event. Everyone who was there said that the atmosphere was different from any other event they've ever been at. Not saying that, let's not call it a major or whatever, but let's call it a special event for sure. And again, as time goes on, I think it's going to only, hopefully, if it stays in the Olympics, it's going to grow in significance, no matter what country you're from.
Yes. And the hard part about get the American audience behind golf in the Olympics,
right.
You have to have one of the Americans win the gold. And then it changes the whole flavor and the format. And to have Bubba Watson not make it, and just watch Matt Kuchar, the guy who didn't know what the format was.
That's right.
You know? And he wins gold. I mean, he wins bronze. You know, it was great. I think it really made the Americans have to say, hey, there's competition outside of the PGA Tour. And we can't just take it for granted that we're just going to walk in and walk away with the gold medal. It just doesn't work like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. More importantly, it seemed like to those guys, though, and that's what I really did like seeing was especially, well, all of them, but just them mingling with the other athletes,
yes.
kind of fitting in, and that golf is considered a sport, and these guys are athletes, and they loved meeting Michael Phelps and Katie Ledecky and all these other stars. They thought that was the coolest thing ever, and again, if you follow them on any form of social media, and you're a golfer who didn't get to go, you had to be thinking, wow, it looks like they're really having a lot of fun over there, and it's a really cool experience. So, again, I think it was a big success. I think it opened our eyes to how important it is in other areas. I think the TV ratings backed it up on the men's side. I know the women's aren't out, but the TV ratings on the men's side were spectacular.
Yeah.
It was the second most watched final round of the year, other than the Masters. And of course, the Masters is going to lead that category. But it was more watched than the U.S. Open final round, the British Open final round, the PGA Championship. So, and especially in some of these other countries, I know in Sweden, it was almost a third of the entire country was tuning
watching.
In to watch Henrik Stenson.
Yeah,
try to win. So, but they had showed that compared to the British Open, when Stenson put on, shot the 63, that only 65,000 people watched it. This time it was 1.5 million. So, I mean, people were watching this instead of the British Open in Sweden. So that just shows you how big a deal the Olympics are and that it is a great showcase for golf.
On Ricky Fowler, what did Matthew McConaughey say to Ricky Fowler?
I don't know, man, but that was great. That was really cool.
That was cool.
Oscar-winning actor follow you. And I just love the way how he described it. He goes, yeah, I just was taking a little walk with Ricky today, and so that Ricky's got some cachet when you can say that an Oscar-winning actor comes to see you play specifically, follows you around the course, and I think really pretty much watched his entire round. So I'm sure we saw Matthew McConaughey go to a bunch of different sports. He was really enjoying himself, both he and his wife. But that was nice and. I'm sure they exchange digits and might be hanging out for a beer or two in the future. They seem like pretty cool guys. So, I think they got along just fine.
Okay. I kind of teased everybody about Robert Allenby.
No.
What's going on with Mr. Allenby now? What happened?
Well, I'll tell you one thing that didn't happen. I don't think he had a great night at the blackjack table that night because – if you had a good night at a casino, I don't think you end up getting arrested for disorderly conduct and all that. So I think Mr. Allenby probably didn't have a great night. He was a little frustrated. He missed the cut. By the way, he's missed 20 out of 22 cuts this season.
That would make me surly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And this is a guy who was a great player at one point. So, the frustration's building up. Obviously, there's you guys were out there in the thick of it with the whole supposed kidnapping and everything like that. So it's been a wild year for Allenby, probably a year that he's going to want to forget.
Just erase.
Yeah, just erase it.
Stop. I got to do a shout out to the PGA Tour because at PGAtour.com on their front page, not only do they have, of course, the men's pictures of the Olympic event, but they're tweeting a PGA Tour employee is tweeting from the women's and mm-hmm. featuring those tweets on the front page of PGAtour.com. So for all the, you know, why don't they change their schedule and why are they competing with the women? Why aren't they whatever? You know, at least they're doing that. And I thought that's very cool. That's really good. On this, the last event to qualify to play in the FedEx Cup Championship. So it's a big deal for them. And I thought that was really cool. Nicely done. And my hat made the front page of the PGAtour.com website too. She's wearing
the hat.
Yeah, the hat that I can't.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, the hat. Great. It's the hat, okay? Varenchova's hat. Yes, go ahead.
That hat's going to become a hot seller in the next few days with women golfers. I mean, it looks good, right?
It looks I like fabulous. It. Are you kidding? Yeah. It's Jackie O. And and it's timeless. It's classy. It's all of those things. Yeah. And your hair still shows. You know, it's mm-hmm. everything a gal would want, like an extra-large Panama missing its top. And it's approved attire by the Russian Olympic Committee. I just don't know where I can get one. That's the big question I've got. Alex Myers, Associate Editor, Golf Digest Magazine, and, of course, author of The Grind. You are awesome. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Anytime.
Absolutely. We're going to take a break and come back and do a wrap-up on the show of the Olympics, men's and women's. Who won? The golf course? The women's game, the men's game, the Olympics, with Ron Syrak, senior writer, Golf Digest. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futuristone's Master Craftsman can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futuristone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futuristone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futuristone. Only the best.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens.
Your plumbing can't wait.
It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight.
Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii.
Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call. Take the red carpet elevator 36 stories straight to the sky to the signature prime steak and seafood atop the Ala Moana Hotel. Kama'aina specials nightly, like three-course meal with salad, entree of miso butterfish or 16-ounce prime ribeye, truffle mashed potatoes, and dessert, all for only $56.95. Live pianist and happy hour nightly with bar food discounts to half off. And there are three rooms for private parties for 8 to 45 guests. For reservations, call 949-3636. The signature, prime steak and seafood.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club. But you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the Golf Club.
U.S. women have won 41 medals the last time I checked, more than any entire nation except China and Britain. The women have 17 gold medals. U.S. women have 2 more medals than the U.S. men. 7 more gold medals. 58.5% of the Olympic coverage in the first half of the games was devoted to women, according to the 3 college professors who study this sort of thing. It could be that more women watch the Olympics than men do. That's what they say about all those vignettes they throw in. The U.S. Olympic contingent arrived in Brazil with 292 women and 263 men. In 1972, there were only 90 women of the 428 athletes. Thank you, Title IX. And now we're going to talk with Ron Cyrak. He has covered the women's game for a long time, a huge advocate of women in golf, women in sports. He loves, is it UConn basketball? Welcome to the show, Ron Cyrak. You can find him at roncyrak.com. He's Golf Digest senior writer. It's good to have you.
Danielle, thanks for having me on, and you just did a brilliant job of summing up the state of the women's athletics right now. It's in a better place than it's ever been, and yes, thank you, Title IX.
And what a final round of golf. I know you have a Saturday tee time that you get to religiously, so did you catch the final round, any part of it?
Yeah. Look, here's all you need to know about the return of golf to the Olympics. All three women who medaled today, Indy Park, Lydia Ko, Shaishan Peng, are major championship winners. Two of the three men who medaled last week, Justin Rose and Heinrich Stenson, were major championship winners. The only one of the six to get a medal who didn't have a major, Matt Kuchar, shot 63 on Sunday to get his bronze medal. I don't think the return of golf to the Olympic Games after 112 years for the men, 116 years for the women, could have been any more successful.
It was fabulous. I love the Olympics, and to see golf in the Olympics and for that golf course to perform as well as it did for men and women, just it should have showed somebody that we need to do this more often, back to back, like Pinehurst, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, it'd be one of the things I'd like to see down the road. I'd like to see eventually mixed teams events as regular events on the PGA Tour and the LPGA. I'd like to see more best ball match play as regular events on the PGA Tour and the LPGA. And look, here's the other thing, that another way in which golf was a winner. The TV ratings were a smash. The final rounds with Stenson and Rose up against each other in Sweden got like a higher rating than the final round of the British Open, which Stenson won. And in the time slot that golf was televised in, the TV ratings were 400% better than any other Olympic sport in the past.
Wow.
Because golf fans love golf, and they're going to watch in the middle of the afternoon on a Saturday or a Sunday or even a Thursday or a Friday. And so it was, I think that the International Olympic Committee is going to love the quality of advertiser that golf brought to the game and the quality of the viewer that they brought to the game and the dedication of the viewer.
Yes, the dedication of the viewer to stay with it no matter what, or to do DVR it, or to stream it, or to find it somehow. You know, that is what it's all about. So when I opened with who was the winner, sometimes we talk about the field, the course, the event. Was it all?
I think everybody won. I think the Olympics found a new sport. Look, golf was approved for this year and for 2020. And next year, the International Olympic Committee votes on whether to extend golf beyond that. Before we got to Rio, there were a lot of people worried that all the defections on the men's side was going to sour the IOC on whether to extend the game. But everything I'm hearing, the IOC loves, again, the quality advertiser that golf brings to the game. And I think they're going to look at those TV ratings numbers. And I think they're going to see that the male defections this year, and there were virtually no female defections, the male defections they're going to view as Brazil-specific. If this was London in 2012, or if this were Tokyo in 2020, those people who didn't go, those men who didn't go, would be there. And they were concerned. They used Zika as the reason for not going. But there were a broad range of security and safety issues that made a lot of rich guys not want to go down there. And I think the IOC will take that into consideration. And I think golf will be voted next year to be a permanent sport in the game.
It's interesting that every time we have an Olympic event, these cities that are the hosts always have a difficult time getting it to fruition. They're always lambasted for having the worst possible places to stay or our transportation. Are cities no longer capable of hosting something like an Olympics where you have to have all these facilities, not just for the people who want to watch, but the Olympic Village and all the events that goes with putting this amazing event on every 4 years?
Well, Danielle, I've become a believer that we're at the point now where we need to pick some permanent sites for the Olympic Games. Maybe one in Europe and one in Asia for the Summer Games. You know, maybe do Athens and Tokyo or something. But pick permanent sites so we don't have to go through this bid process, in which, quite frankly, there is a fair amount of corruption involved in that. And we don't have to go through all this infrastructure building process. Brazil was a very different country in 2009 when it was awarded the Games than it is now. Since that time, they had a political collapse, an economic collapse, an environmental collapse, serious health issues. And you can't anticipate those things. I would like to see them pick sites, in the Eastern Hemisphere or the Western Hemisphere for both the Summer and the Winter Games, and just keep going back to those places so that we don't have to go through this massive, massive spending every 4 years to build new venues.
Yeah, it's the amount of resources that we put into a city that's not going to be using. What happens to those towers they built? Do they become slums afterwards? That was the first thing I wondered.
You know, in Montreal is still paying for the 1976 Summer Games. Now, in London, what they were able to do, first off, London had a successful game because they had a lot of their infrastructure already in place. They had a great transportation system, trains, lines. They had stadiums, Wembley Stadium, other places that they could use. And they built the Olympic Village and the Olympic Media Village in East London, which was a depressed area. And they turned all those structures into affordable housing after the games.
Wow.
So that worked. It worked for them. They got something out of it. They got something very positive out of it. But in a lot of other places, that's not the case. You build things like, you know, a velodrome for bicycle racing or some of the swimming venues that are never going to be used again.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good point. And that's one of the things when I read your column. This is Ron Cyrak, Golf Digest senior writer. He'll be going. You're going to the Evian, aren't you?
I am. I will be there.
That's fantastic. He also has his own website now, roncyrak.com. So he can write and post, and you can get his take on all of these things at roncyrak.com. That's a really nice site.
I have something up from last week after the men's tournament, and I'll file something tomorrow. Sort of on the women's tournament, and probably wrapping up a lot of what you and I have just talked about, you know. And what I like about having my own site is I'm going to be able to go in there and sort of say what I think, you know. And I'm looking forward to having that freedom.
Yes, to be able to without being edited. Can we take a break?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yes. Can we come back? I'd like to take a break and thank the people who make this show possible. I want to talk about some of the women. You know, the LPGA is like the Olympics, because when we watched the Olympics, we knew most of the players. But then we got to know some of these players that I'd never met before. I'd like to talk about Nana Matsen and Aditi Ashok and Clara Spilkova and Maha Hadoui. I'm not sure that I'm. And then there's Fabian Inalban and Albane Venezuela. I'm not sure that we'll even know. They're from Switzerland. I didn't know we had Swiss golfers. Can we come back after this, Ron?
Absolutely.
Thank you. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
What do the Symphony Tower, One Ala Moana, Waiea Building, JN's Lamborghini Showroom, and Park Place at Ala Moana all have in common? They used Rainer Hawaii overhead doors for their door and gate needs. Rainer, Hawaii's premier overhead door company. Provide lasting security and safety for your business by working with Rainer Hawaii overhead doors and gates. Great service, fair prices. Whether you need 80 doors or only a small repair, call Rainer Hawaii, 676-DOOR. That's 676-3667, Rainer Hawaii.
Liliha Bakery is Hawaii's best. It's the home of Cocoa Puffs. Get breakfast, lunch, or dinner at both great locations, and breakfast is always available all day. After all, it's a Liliha Bakery tradition. Award-winning hotcakes, omelets beyond compare, and everyone's favorite melt-in-your-mouth butter rolls. Ooh. And at Nimitz, don't forget hearty, fall-off-the-bone tasty oxtail soup and prime rib, too. Bring the whole gang. Get reservations for 20 or more every day. There's ample parking in the entire lot. The holidays are here. Pick up those holiday treats. Come on, get to a Leliha Bakery now.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf easier with the coaching of Master PGA teaching professional Claude Brousseau. Claude will simplify your game, scratch golfer or just beginner. As a two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, now with the Ko'olina Golf Academy, you will get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or email him at claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
Oh, man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh, man, can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
We're talking with Ron Cyrak, Golf Digest senior writer, and of course he has his own site now. It's roncyrak.com. That's S-I-R-A-K, roncyrak.com. And you can read his postings now. He has one up from after the men's event, and he'll be posting after the women's event. And I want to call this segment Women to Watch After the Olympics that you may not have met before. Denmark's Nanna Madsen. Where's she been? Boy, she looks like she could be on the LPGA Tour tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, with the Ladies European Tour, it's a lot like the Men's European Tour. Because we don't see them, we tend to underestimate them. And the fact is, there's a lot of talent over there. And while most would rather be playing on the LPGA, and that's their ultimate goal, there are some who just like living at home. In being at home, they like the European lifestyle and they stay there. We're going to see. That's one of the real benefits of the Olympics. Is it did expose us to players we don't know. Originally, I wasn't really enamored with the IOC's decision that the 60-person field was based not so much on having the 60 best women golfers in the world in the Olympics, but to have as many countries represented as possible. So we ended up with 34 countries represented. But what happened is, and so a lot of people, like number 10 in the Rolex World Rankings, Hanan Jung, didn't make it because there were four other Koreans ahead of her, and that was the cap on how many from a country that could be there. But we ended up with somebody like Letitia Beck from Israel. Israel doesn't even have a golf foundation or a golf federation. So Letitia Beck had to design her own logo, her own clothing. She designed her bag, you know, because there was nobody else to do it. She had no golf federation to do it.
Wow.
And while at the beginning I wasn't a fan of that, I ended up being a fan of that. This is good. To include as many countries as possible is really ultimately good for the growth of the game.
Exactly. And I found the most exciting part about it is like, oh, Aditi Ashok from India. I'd heard about her as a child. She's playing marvelous golf.
Yep. And what we've seen, and you know, if there's, we'll go back and we'll give credit to two people for this. Well, maybe three. Seve Ballesteros took the game of golf to the European continent. Tiger Woods took the game of golf around the world. And Siri Park took the game of golf to Asia.
Yes.
And those three people have had as much to do with the globalization of golf as any three people in the game.
Yeah, another part is you're absolutely right, and I'm looking at Morocco from the Muslim point of view. Maha Hadoui playing, it's not something that you know you think of Muslim golfers, but
yeah, I went to a few years ago. I guess it was 2011. I went and I spent 2 weeks in Abu Dhabi, Bahrain, and Dubai, trying to figure out why are there golf tournaments over there. And one of the reasons there are golf tournaments over there is they're trying to cultivate a tourist economy. you know, as sort of a post-oil economy. And to fly from London to Dubai is like flying from New York to Los Angeles, you know. So it's a very doable thing. And so they're developing these activities over there that are going to bring people there and make people want to buy second homes there and have their winter homes there. And in every way, the globalization of golf is a good thing.
It is. And Morocco has been a huge golf destination.
Morocco was one of the first. I think was Butch Harmon, one of his, was the personal coach to King Hassan.
Yes.
For quite a bit of time in the early 70s, you know, and that was a huge thing of bringing golf to that part of the world.
Yes, absolutely. And then Maria Vercianova's, she's been around for a long time, but then she shoots a 62. She doesn't know she's got a hole in one because she can't see over the ridge. So she, and then they tell her, and of course, then she goes to the scores and they say, you can take your scorecard home because you shot a course record 62.
And you know, that's the other great thing about the way that the Olympics determine these 60 player fields for both the men and the women is having stories like that in there is a good thing. Yeah, they're not players we've heard of. And, yeah, we look at and say, well, gee, how come this player didn't get to go because she's better than these other players? But when you have these stories emerge, again, it gives golf a good story to tell, a very positive story to tell.
Watching our U.S. contingent, our U.S. team, Stacey Lewis, Jarena Pillar. Jarena's one of your favorite golfers. Why is that?
Well, Jarena, you know, Jarena Pillar didn't start playing golf till she was 15 years old. By that age, Lydia Ko had already won two professional tournaments. So, Jarena was a volleyball player in Roswell, New Mexico, and she used Jarena Mendoza then, and a great athlete, and she took up golf at 15.
Wow.
And she's somebody who, she's 31 now, and I think her best days are ahead of her. You know, she's very old school in the sense that she wasn't out there winning tournaments at 17, 18, 19 years old, but she could be somebody who in her 30s has a great, great, great career. And today, I mean, boy, how about even more heartbreak for Stacey Lewis?
Oh.
The worst place to finish in the Olympics is fourth.
Yeah.
Because third, you get the bronze medal, you know, and fourth,
yeah.
And Matt Kuchar, I mean, how did Matt Kuchar, gosh, he said, I've never been so happy about finishing third in a tournament in my life. And Stacey Lewis, who has, I think my number's right on this, 13 second-place finishes since her last LPGA win. So today, I view today her finishing fourth as another second-place finish.
Yeah.
You know, it was another disappointment for her.
When she hung her head after missing that the last putt that I saw, and it was another one that she hit short. You know, and every time she hit it short today or this past 4 days, an announcer would say, hit it harder, you know, hit it, Stacey. It's like, I don't understand what's going wrong for her, but I'm feeling every piece of the pain that she, no, I'm not. I can't even imagine what she's going through. And she just got married, you know.
Stacey needs to go back and look at some video of herself when she was playing great golf. And realized, in my eyes, part of what I see from her is she gets down on herself now too quickly.
Oh.
And she hangs her head too much. And she's sort of lost that grinder in her that made her special. And that's what she needs to find. You know, one of the things about golf is you don't hit good shots all the time. And when you hit bad shots, you just got to, like, suck it up and go find the ball and hit your next shot. And she's been getting, in my opinion, the last 2 years, a little bit too down on herself. And if she can get her head back into that place, then she can start winning again.
Awesome. Lexi Thompson, was the course too short? I don't know what to say.
Lexi's really, it's phenomenal that she's won as many tournaments as she's won, considering that her short game is fairly, pretty much a disaster.
Ah.
You know, she's not just a bad putter. She's a bad chipper, bad pitcher of the golf ball. She's got to learn how to play those shots from inside 100 yards, inside 50 yards, better than she does right now. That's going to take her to the next level. Look, Indy Park, Lydia Ko, all they do, they never overpower a golf course. They keep their golf ball out of trouble, they keep their composure, and they make putts. Those three things will win a lot of golf tournaments for you. They aren't sexy. They don't make for, like, really exciting golf to watch, but they produce winning golf. And Lexi needs to figure that out. I mean, and look, I mean, what's the biggest problem that other than health issues, that Michelle Wee has had throughout her entire career is that her short game was never that good. You know, she wasn't really good as you know, Pia Nielsen, who you've had on your show, who's one of the women I write books with, she says, sometimes young players forget the point of the game is to get the ball in the hole faster than anybody else. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not about swinging perfectly. It's not about hitting it 320. It's about getting the ball in the hole fast. Indy Park, Lydia Ko are brilliant at getting the ball in the hole fast.
Yeah, and watching Lydia yesterday, she was like, she peaked yesterday in their first hole in one, and she's like, yeah. And then, you know, even if you're great, your putter can leave you.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, Lydia's 65 yesterday. And really, I mean, that was the wind was blowing 30 miles an hour. That was an incredible round of golf. That might have been the best round of golf of the entire game. And again, part of what makes Lydia so good is her mental toughness and her mental adaptability. You look at her, she hits a bad shot and she laughs. She just like shrugs it off like, oh, well, you know, what am I going to do? I'll go find the ball. I'll go hit it again, you know, and she doesn't let it get under her skin. That's a hugely positive attribute.
So our team needs to go take a lesson from Lydia Ko.
pretty much, you know, exactly. Stacy could learn from Lydia, don't get down on yourself.
Right.
And Lexi could learn from Lydia, have a better short game.
Exactly. There we go.
Yep.
We've got it solved. Ron Sirek, I hope we'll talk when you're at the Evian because it's always a pleasure talking with you. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Anytime, Danielle. My pleasure.
Aloha. I want to thank the people who make the golf club possible. Our new sponsor is Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom, providing lasting security and safety for your business. It's Raynor Doors. Claude Brousseau, Master PGA Professional, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Vision 54 coach. Ron Sirek was just talking about Vision 54. Claude Brousseau spent a lot of time with Pia and Lynn. Aimpoint certified Golf Channel lead coach, featured on Morning Drive on Golf Channel and Golf Channel Academy Live. You need a lesson with Claude Brousseau. It's Claude for Best Golf. And you'll find him online. Lili Ha Bakery. Oh, I should go there right now. Always perfect breakfast, lunch, or dinner. It's Lili Ha Bakery. At the counter or at a table, I always feel like I'm at home because I never know what friends I'm going to run into or family I'm going to see. So just go over to Lili Ha Bakery, like old times. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted the PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years. And then there's the paying adult gets to take 6 to 17-year-old child on the course free. So you get to play with your junior golfer. Yes, a great idea. It's Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. Futuristone. Futuristone's master craftsmen can turn your building, your company, your home project into artwork. It's Futuristone. And they have these fabulous pavers. And you can make your driveway, and then but first they put the mesh underground. So none of when the water goes through the pavers, the mesh captures any of the pollutants. So if you live in an area where water, the groundwater is right near you, it's perfect. They've even made runways using pavers. Creative plumbing, whether you're a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, a townhouse, you need new, you need to rehab, you need to renovate. Call Creative Plumbing because it's got to be done right. Creative Plumbing. And the signature steak and seafood restaurant, beautiful, juicy steak. I love the furikake ahi excellent wine selection by the glass or the bottle, and the signature vodka cocktail. Check it out. And you can finish with the new Fuji apple pie. It's excellent. Excellent service, beautiful view from the 36th floor at the Ala Moana Hotel, and there's valet parking. And the Irish washerwoman, Shannon, personalized house and condo cleaning makes you go, wow, every time you walk into the room cleaned by the Irish washerwoman, irishwasherwoman.com. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2016.